I greet you all in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The title for today's message is Discriminating Judgment. And our text is taken from Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. We're looking at three subheadings this morning. The first one is the figure of dog and pigs. The second one is the example of dogs and pigs. The third one is the sun, dogs and pigs. Let us go to the text, Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. Last week on the Sermon on the Mount, we looked at judging others. Judge not does not mean that we should not judge one another. And it does not condemn all forms of judgment, but it condemns particularly the censorious and hypocritical judgment that was prevalent in the life of the scribes and the Pharisees. Jesus rebuked them for judging others falsely, for not using the standard of God's word to judge people. Instead, they have built up their own standards, and hypocritically, they are not concerned about the log in their own eyes, but they want to remove the speck or the sawdust from the eyes of their fellow men. Today, we are looking at discriminating judgment. Now, Jesus, in this statement, gives a stern warning, one of utmost importance. He said, do not give what is holy to dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. In other words, what use is it for you to give precious stones to dogs and pigs? They would only try to chew them, and when it does not break in their mouth, they would spit it out and turn and try to bite you. Because to dogs and pigs, they want nothing. They are useless and unimportant if it does not fulfill the groaning of their stomach. So with this figure of speech, we want to ask the question, who are these dogs and pigs? What kind of people is Jesus referring to as dogs and pigs? That leads us this morning to our first subheading, which is the figure of dogs and pigs. Let's go to the text again, Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. Do not give what is holy to the dogs. Nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. Jesus started off by giving us a warning, a stern warning, and which I would encourage us to take very seriously this morning, on who is a recipient of the gospel. Dogs and pigs are in no way ready to receive holy things and gemstones. A dog and a pig is categorized in the Bible as unclean things. Dogs are not pets in the ancient world during the time of Jesus Christ. They are scavengers. Unlike today, we have them at our homes. But during those times, they were scavengers. They only live in the bush to look for what is left over. And they are considered as unclean animals because they are unfit to use in the worship of God. Pigs and dogs are not used in sacrifices. In Leviticus chapter 10 verse 10, the Bible says, you are to distinguish between the unclean and the clean. In the time of Jesus Christ, a Gentile could be referred to as a swine, which is a very common designation or description of the Gentiles among the Jews, which is meant actually to belittle them or disrespect them or give them no value as humans because of their unbelief to the Jewish religion of the day. And so we are not, as Christians, permitted to go about calling people dogs and pigs. This is a statement that is meant for the purpose of discernment only, which I'm going to explain to you further. The equivalent to that derogatory statement is calling someone in our day an infidel. So we are not to apply short a derogatory term to any class of people. Jesus did not use it to give us license to be calling people or any class of people with that name. Rather, he was teaching his disciples to make the right use of discerning who is ready to fight and be antagonistic to the gospel. Have you tried to minister to someone and ends up chasing you with a cutlass? It happens to me once when I was preaching the early years of evangelism in this country. And when I came to this particular house, I decided to go in and share the gospel. The man said to me, "Wait for me, please. I'm coming." And he went to the room and removed the cutlass. I had to run for my life that day. Another incident happened when, as a group, as a church, we went down for evangelism. And this is over 18 years ago. It's not now. And this man chased us with a cutlass. That he doesn't want to hear the gospel. It's an abomination to him that if we dare come to his house the next time, he's not going to hesitate to kill any one of us. That was how desperate this man was. So that is what the figure of pig and dog is meant to be. Try to know, who are these people that will not want you to preach the gospel to them, that are ready to take up a cutlass and cut off your head for preaching the gospel? You should try to know them, because you don't want to be casting the precious gospel, the power of the gospel, before pigs and swine. We are going to unpack it one by one. So I marked the house. I marked the house and the people who have given me such a treatment. And I decided not to go there the second time, because I don't want to cast the precious gospel before pigs and dogs who will trample upon it, turn back and come and bite me and devour me. Try to know people who will tear you to pieces when you try to share the gospel to them. Or even give them a piece of advice. Some people, beside the gospel, even Christians, they don't want people to advise them. So if you try to advise them one, two times or three times, you get into a very bitter argument. And they may decide even to insult you for trying to give them a reasonable advice, which is biblical, God-honoring advice. Try to know these people. It is utterly foolish to keep advising or preaching to someone you know that will end up in fighting and being angry with you on an issue that is meant for his own spiritual well-being. You should tell that this brother is not in the state to receive what you had to offer. You should tell. That is the discriminating part of the judgment. When you take the gospel out there, this one is in no state to be corrected. If you do not want to face your sin in this life, you don't want to be corrected. You become aggressive, vindictive, and repulsive to the gospel. And to anyone that is kind enough to come to you humbly to give you a relevant advice. And so this morning we can as well look into our own hearts this morning. What sins have we discovered? God's love is infinite. He can forgive when we repent of our sins and trust in Him. In their guilt, or in your guilt this morning, God offers the healing power of forgiveness. No matter how deep your soul is broken, receive the gospel and you will have forgiveness of your sins. Take that gentle, kind advice and counsel from your pastor, from the elder, from a brother that loves you and wants you to walk in the paths of righteousness for your namesake. No matter how deep your brokenness is, can be healed by Christ. All the pain, all the guilt, all the darkness, the sinfulness in your life can be healed in Christ alone. So this figure of speech is not meant to reject you totally. At some point, all of us, in our previous unconverted lives, have acted like pigs and dogs towards the gospel. But it did not last because of God's love upon us. It was only for a moment in time, it was temporal. And God, in His mercy, opened our hearts and granted us the gift of repentance and faith. And so today we could sit on the Lord's table and share and eat the precious spiritual meal that God has offered to us in the gospel. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 27, the woman of Canaan proved that she was not a dog. Jesus said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." But the woman said, "Even the little dogs eat crumbs which fall from their master's table." And Jesus said, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." What is your desire this morning? Do you desire to come to the Lord? Repent of your sins? Proving that you are not a dog. God has granted you the gift of repentance and faith, and so you hunger and thirst for Him. You repent and turn away from your sin. You can come to Him this morning, repenting, turning away from your sins, and putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. Now to our second subheading this morning. The examples of dogs and pigs in the Bible. Let's go again to verse 6 and read. We are just dealing with this one verse this morning. "Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces." Examples of dogs and pigs in the Bible. The example of dogs and pigs can be found throughout the Bible. When the gospel is preached, there are those who would receive the message and through the grace of God repent of their sins and are converted. On the other hand, you have those who would refuse the message and totally reject it and treat the messenger with contempt and disregard. They trample underfoot the holy and sacred things of God, in the same way dogs do to anything that is sacred, and pigs do if you throw gemstones before them, or pearls. They will trample upon them, they will disregard them, disrespect them, and if care is not taken, they will come back and try to bite you for giving them something that meant nothing to them. That is the condition and state of an unregenerate man. Left to himself, they are haters of God by nature. They are fugitives running away from God. But that is not all. These people are also in the church. They are hypocrites. They pretend to love God, but they don't. In their secret corner, they are doing and practicing evil, plotting evil and trying to destroy the assembly of God's people. And some of them, they even be here with us this morning, who fit into that description of dogs and pigs. And when it comes to the sacred and holy things of God, they don't care. The things that they ought to treat with utmost seriousness and passion, they will neglect with reckless abandon. They will not come to the worship of God on the Lord's Day. No. It's not the priority to them. They don't love the word of God and the fellowship with God. They don't pray or read the Bible at all. But they still call themselves Christians. And when you try to give them a godly counsel, they become angry and disrespectful. We see these people coming vehemently against churches, church leaders, pastors. They try to strike the shepherd in every church or congregation where they belong. Jesus spoke of them in Psalm chapter 22 verse 16. It says, "For dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. They are like the Jews of Corinth," in Acts chapter 18 verse 6. Paul was compelled by the Spirit to preach the gospel to them. But this is what they did to him. They opposed him and blasphemed. Then he shook his garment and said to them, "Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. Now on I will go to the Gentiles." It is said of Nabal in 1 Samuel chapter 25 verse 17 that he was so evil that a man could not speak to him. Can you imagine someone that was so evil that people could not speak to him? And that is why we need discernment, discriminating discernment. Even in the church, we need discernment. And sometimes we just fly with the caption that everybody that comes around us is a Christian. I was in a WhatsApp chat group recently where they posted a man who was an armed robber in Gambia here that is moving from one congregation to the other, seducing people, cajoling them, trying to know their whereabouts so that he would give exact indication of their wealth so that in the night he will not tell the thieves to come. The Bible says, "Prove all things, test all things." And sometimes we are quick to say this person is a Christian. No wonder the Bible says, "Lay hands on no man suddenly." That mistake almost cost the end of this assembly.
Yes, sir.
People we wanted to lay hands on, we never knew that they are eating and dining with the devil himself. Discernment is very important. Discriminating discernment. Jesus calls the flock. He says, at the end of the day, he will separate the sheep from the goats. And I tell you, most of us have come across them. Some have come sheepishly into our lives. The name of being a Christian. And we got married to them. When we entered into that marriage, we begin to see all kinds of deception. The worst kind that you could ever imagine. A couple that was called Romeo and Juliet, during their days of courtship, entered into marriage, only for the Juliet to discover that the Romeo was a devil. And so today, they are in the courts trying to separate from one another. Discernment. Remember, I was told a story of this woman that came to the church. She said, "Is a Christian." Yes. And they gave her a huge business to go and do. The pastor told her, "When you, after doing the business, please pay back the capital." When they give the business to this woman, she ran away from the church. And when she was asked about the capital, she replied to the pastor, in a quote, I quote, "If I don't eat pastor in money, would I money I go eat?" That was the end of the matter. Discriminating judgment. It's very, very, very vital and important. And sometimes we say, "Oh, this project is only meant for Christians." You have not tested the Christian. You have not known whether he had done several projects. And so one day I asked my mentor, I said, "Is it good to give a church project to a Muslim or somebody who is not a Christian?" He said, "Once you have proven that person that he is faithful, he has done it once, two, three, four, five, and successful. And that is what you also need to do even for your fellow Christian. You don't just go ahead and look at this man, he's a Christian, so you take precious things and give to him. Because there are wolves in sheep's clothing. I have seen many, many people disappoint us grossly to a height which I cannot even explain. So Christians, we have to stand between good and evil. Test all things. The Bible says, prove all things. Don't just listen to what people say. You see a brother today, they say this one is a Christian. You take him and put him on top of that pedestal. Without knowing the person. Without interacting with the person. Without knowing who the person is. His past and his present character. The very religious leaders who were supposed to receive Jesus Christ and say, "Welcome, Messiah, you have come to save our people from their sins." They are the ones who crucified him. They rise up against him. They connived with the Roman authorities and crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. It happened. So as Jesus himself said, that he has not laid his trust on all men. There are those who stubbornly reject the gospel. They trample upon the sacred message of the gospel like pigs, and may do the same to you. As Jesus himself said, that they will turn and tear you into pieces. In Matthew chapter 10 verse 14, Jesus admonished his disciples that whenever their message was rejected, they should shake off the dust off their feet and leave the place. How about the pastor who said he's not going to minister to his family anymore? Because he tried ministering to his family members. They did the worst to him. And he decided to keep quiet and continue praying for them. You have to use discernment. Jesus said, you should shake off the dust from off your feet and leave the place. In Acts chapter 13 verse 44 to 45, the same thing happened to Paul. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy, contradicting and blaspheming. They opposed the things spoken by Paul. These people trampled the paths of the message like pigs. We must be sensitive to this type of response and be ready to move on. It is not by force that you must preach to an antagonistic, violent, and non-repentant sinner. It is not by force. It is said of Jesus Christ that he did not entrust himself to some men. In John chapter 2, verse 24. In the book of Acts, when the message of the gospel is rejected, they do not outstay their welcome. It is inappropriate for us to cast pearls before swine. We must recognize the value of pearls and the nature of pigs. We cannot behave in a fashion inappropriate for the gospel. I was told of an evangelist that ended up fighting with a violent and repulsive man. They ended up in a bitter argument and started insulting each other. Can you imagine that? Who is now preaching to who? Fish cannot be fishers. What testimony have you left for the people out there? He said you are an evangelist, you go out there to preach, and you end up fighting, quarreling bitterly. I tried that once at the Bikama market. I went to this barbing shop. Man, so many people are there, and I started preaching, sharing the gospel. And they started asking me so many questions. All of a sudden, the wranglers begin to come. Before you know it, they started insulting me. I looked at them and said, my brother, please, oh, I did not come here for fight. This discussion is over. I am going home. And one of them later on became my friend. In fact, he was the one who started the insult. He became my friend. As I'm speaking to you right now, we are friends. So we should use wisdom, discriminating judgment. When you sense that a person is of such a temperament and nature, as soon as they begin to insult you, stop the preaching and say, sorry sir, I don't mean to enrage you. See you some other time. What testimony would you give to the world out there when you argue so bitterly and start insulting each other? His light cannot work with darkness. Now to our final point this morning. Discern dogs and pigs. Discern them. verse 6 again I read. 7 verse 6. Do not give what is holy to dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. The question of discernment is key in this text. We must urge men and women everywhere to repent, but we must be sensitive in doing this. We must discern dogs and pigs by their response to the gospel. If you insist on presenting the gospel to dogs and pigs, you discover their deep hostility, which will result into opposition and persecution. In Proverbs chapter 9 verse 8, the Bible says, "Do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you." Two things we should guard against. One is overcaution. Some are so overcautious that even when they have opportunity to preach the gospel to someone who is receptive, they won't, because of past bad experiences. And that should not be the case. You must see the signs or evidences of a dog and a pig in the person. Those signs are evident. Once you start preaching to someone and the person begins to be very angry, that is a sign, obviously. I have seen marabouts who are ready to listen to the gospel. I'm talking about the marabout person.
Yeah.
Very popular at that. I went to the shrine where this man was preaching, doing his charms and everything, because he's my neighbor. We just live not very far from each other, and a lot of cars are coming into that compound. Rich people, very rich and wealthy people are coming there. They will park their car and go there. And so I said to myself, let me go and visit this man. I did not go alone. I went with another person. We went together. After preaching the gospel to this man, the man thanked me for having said these good words. I cannot speak the language that the man was speaking, so I was having a translator. And the man thanked me. He said, "But you see, my brother, let me be very honest with you. You see all these people coming here, they are coming to get solution to their problem. And myself, I have a family to feed. I have so many children. If I leave this work to follow your religion, where would I get food to eat? All these people coming here, wouldn't they be disappointed that they have lost my services?" He said, "You have said the truth, but I'm sorry, I cannot follow you." There was no fight, there was no quarrel, nobody exchanged words. In fact, the man listened to me. He stopped what he was doing. But he said no. Then I met another marabout. This one is a female marabout. I did not say, because of my past experience, I will no more preach to marabouts again. But this one accepted the gospel, came to church. I took her to the field, baptized her. I still have a picture with me, together in the water. But he traveled to Europe. She traveled to Europe. So at times, because of past experience, you want to be overcautious to a point that a dying soul will come before you and you say, "No, I don't want to have any business with this one." But this woman came to church. The people in the church knew that she was a marabout. Every Sunday she would be in the church. She would call me on phone. She would come and visit. Do not be overcautious. Because what you would receive from one may be different from the other. For you have to discern between pigs and dogs. You can see results for yourself, even in your own life. There are people you talk to that will accept. And there are people you talk to, even you give counsel to some people, they will not accept. But there are people you come across, you talk to them, they will accept. One will say yes, the other will say no. We see this in the Bible. The witnesses of the early church has two responses. Some cried out, saying, "Brothers, what shall we do to be saved?" Acts chapter 2 verse 37. And again we see others who vehemently rejected the preaching of the Apostle Paul and were filled with envy, contradicting and blaspheming. Acts chapter 13 verse 44 to 45. So be prepared to be rejected and live with that cost. But also be prepared to receive new converts, souls born into the kingdom of God. Say, test every spirit to know whether they are from God. I tell you, you have people who are truly converted. That spirit of Christ in them will reveal them to you. You will know them as you continue to disciple them. Another thing we have to guard against is overzealousness. And that is prevalent in Africa here. And let me tell you why. Overzealousness will make you not to take this warning very seriously. You are told to take a permit for a public meeting. You said, "I don't need a permit. I can handle the crowd. God will send his angels to protect me." And when you know that there are ruthless guys around who may have even threatened to interrupt your program, just so you know that you can actually have police protection in this country if you are threatened religiously. That is a good thing that we need to praise God about. We have freedom to practice our religion, but not provocatively or by calling people names or mindlessly without caution. I've told of stories where some people have walked in shrines and destroyed the place without the consent of the owner or custodian of the shrine. That is foolish overzealousness. It is like tempting God. It's like what Satan told Jesus Christ to do. He took him to the high mountain and said, "Fall down. The angels of God will catch you in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone." That is what you do without the consent of the people. You do not force your belief on anyone. You are not called to a religious war where you force people to obey you by force. Because you are now a Christian, you want to go to your village, your father's village, while your parents are still unbelievers, practicing their old age tradition. You want to go there and destroy their charms without their consent. Anything happen to you there, you will carry that wahala for yourself. While you know that they are unbelievers and they don't believe in your religion, you have to minister the gospel to them first. And when they accept, let them bring out their idols and burn them for themselves. Except if they want you to assist them, then you can do that. We see that in the book of Acts, chapter 19, verse 18 to 19. And many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Also, many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burnt them in the sight of all. They themselves brought their books out and burnt them. Paul did not go out chasing demons or begin to go into shrines and destroying them. While Paul was preaching, you have the temple of Baal. You have those temples. Where in the gospel did you hear Paul entering a temple and destroying it by force? His weapon was the gospel. The power was in the gospel. So many people today think there is no power in the gospel. And so they have introduced gimmicks, drama, and all kinds of things in the church. But preaching the unadulterated word of God without compromise has power to bring people to the saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so you go to a village, you think that you have power. I tell you, we are human beings there. The devil is not a human being. It's a spirit. It's more powerful than you. The only one that the devil cannot challenge is Christ. And that is why when the devil comes to you, you flee to your advocate. You don't stand before and say, I am Lord. Oh, I'm a superhero Christian. He will give you a slap that you will not forget in a long time. You have to approach the devil in the way the Bible says we should approach him. Resist the devil and he will flee. Put on the whole armor of God that he may be able to stand. Not going to shrines and begin to have a whole night of prayer fighting witches. Who cannot do you anything except God permits them? So why can't you go to the God who will permit them than to be fighting and wrestling with them? Some people do not even spare cockroaches. They associate them with demons. Any fly, anything that passes, they will begin to bind and command and do all kinds of incantations, which is very unbiblical. A disciple. You know, you have some of these churches where they teach you that you should become a superhero Christian. So when you have Christ, you have all the power. You are the one who have the power, no more Christ. They see you as the power-reaching believer. And so, this guy went somewhere. And they asked him not to touch. He said, no, I'm a child of God, I will go and touch. He went and touched and came with a swollen hand. Came to me for prayer. They do ask you in the first place to go and touch. He says, look at me. Since that day I have been sick. It took about a week before that boy got healed. We just praying for him. Because that is not what you are sent to do. Go and preach the gospel. Don't go and meddle with those charms and those things that you did not make them. You did not know where they are coming from. And when you step out of the bounds that God has given you, you will carry the consequences of that. Some people will see a charm on the ground. They say, oh, I'm a believer, let me take it and destroy it. If somebody throws it in your compound, in your own house, then you can take it. Because you know it's your own compound, it's not meant to be there. But just seeing it on the way does not concern you. Don't concern yourself with it. Go your way. Do not be overzealous. We are sent to preach the gospel of repentance from sins and reconciliation to God through His blood atonement. And when the kingdom of God comes to the people, they will put away their gods and follow the right path. And finally, we ourselves can be dogs and pigs when we reject the biblical, God-honoring counsel of a brother or a sister in the Lord. How many times we have behaved like that, not minding the consequences? We have pridefully turned against our advisors. May we, as we seek to admonish one another, think whether we are taking biblical counseling seriously when coming from a humble, faithful advisor. You would end up in the wrong place if biblical counseling is no more important to you. If you refuse the good counsel from godly men and women, it will result in something which you would have to regret. I pray that our hearts will yield itself to the word of God, which is the absolute authority. And when we go out there, let us be discerning and discriminating. Even the people that we employ in our companies, in our working places, let us try to discern them. And I think one of the things I learned recently, that even when you are taking someone for a job, let the person be given a recommendation from where he's coming from. Because you don't know how the person left that place. Even when someone is moving from one church to the other, no, try to know where it's coming from. If there is need, go and meet the pastor and ask the pastor. Just have a brief conversation. I remember the pastor came to us and was asking about a brother that left the church and went to his church. I told the pastor, I said, the brother has no problems here. And he's a very sweet and nice person to be around with. The only reason he gave to me for leaving is that we are in a veranda too long. I said, but you can go ahead and have him. The pastor go ahead and even went ahead to give the man the pulpit to preach it one or two times. But because of what he has learned here, he cannot walk. One day he came and said to me, that since I left this place, I have not gone to church for like 2 years. He said, because when I begin to hear what you preach and begin to compare it with other churches, I have not been able to find a Reformed church that is biblical and consistent in the Word of God. I told him, we are not many here. We are very few. I said, you should have asked me so that I would point you to one. Maybe it could even be closer to you, you don't know. So it's very good for us to be discriminating in our judgment. Do not just accept everything hook, line and sinker. Test all things, prove all things. Know who are the pigs and dogs, so that you don't entrust your life in the hands of people who will come back and bite you, destroy you and all that you are doing. Let us pray. Father and our Lord, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your word this morning. We ask for grace to take heed of all your commandments, warnings, promises, and good examples to follow. Give us today our daily bread, and give us grace to forgive at all times. These and many other masses we ask through your Son's name and for his sake. Amen.